Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a joy to be here this morning again. I just blessed what Solomon shared there this morning. And as we was reading through Corinthians this morning, you know, who is going to be a part of that body? Who is a part of the body? And we read in Corinthians this morning, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So who is a part of the body? It's those that are dead to self and walking after Christ and excited after his ways. So, yes, praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I have a little different message, I think, for the church here today. I told my wife this morning, if the three first benches are empty, I'm going to do something different. I think I talked to Steve yesterday about it. And if everybody's okay with that. I want all the boys and girls from the age of 16 on up to come fill these first three benches right here first. Maybe the boys on each side and the girls maybe in these two seats here. I just have a little message here, mainly for more directed to the youth maybe today. We at times say we become too formal, so this will mix it up a little bit. So let's do something different. Maybe I don't know if Dan or somebody can run the sound system a little bit, so Brian and Matt can come down as well. I think it'd be a blessing. So why don't you just make your way up here to the first benches here. We got five benches empty. I think we got enough room. Mark, you want to scoot over? Let the girl sit here.
Yeah.
Over here, Mark. Okay, I think before I begin, I'm just going to walk down through here and just shake each and every one of your hands. I can tell you, I just have not a burden, but I do. I love every one of you young men. And I know that in this life, being young, 16 to 17, 18, and I know it's different than what I began in my life. I know there's a lot of peer pressures, even though that majority of you are born again. I know that there's still much peer pressure as a young man, a young woman. So I just want to just share a little bit here, starting out in my life. I want to just share a little bit what God did in my life. I know most of you older ones heard my testimony, and I'm not going to share much of it. Just a brief where I was and where God brought me and where I'm at today. I'm not going to take too long. I think it's about a 30-minute message here. But I just want to title this. I didn't know what I was going to do, what I was going to title. But this morning, I just put it on the title. If you live in the flesh, and I'm going to hit on that verse a little bit in Romans. It says, if you live in the flesh, you shall die. It says, but living in the spirit, you shall live. And I just want to share the first 29 years of my life, how I lived in the flesh. And I indulged in the flesh to the fullness, you know, of 29 years of my life. There was no restraint. There was no one telling me what to do or what not to do. I was a man of self, full of self. So I'm going to be talking to whoever this may be to, but I just want to share it mainly to the younger ones this morning and to the ones that are born again, and maybe the ones that are battling conversion, that are not converted. So this is for you as well. But I want to just begin sharing briefly. I'm not going to take long to share I'm just going to go through there and touch a little bit on my testimony just to share who I was. But anyway, just want to start back, way back, at the age of young age, I can remember coming to the age of accountability, and that was at the age of 11 years old. All of a sudden, one day, I knew what I did, and I know that Mom never told me it was sin either. All of a sudden, one day, I knew what I did. It was wrong. I knew it was sin, and I knew if I would have died that day, I would have went to hell at the age 11 or 12. And I remember going to ask Mom, you know, what am I supposed to do about this? I said, I did something bad, and I wouldn't tell her what I did either. At that time, well, she said, well, you need to go ask God for forgiveness. And I can remember going, falling on my knees as a little 11, 12-year-old boy and asking God to forgive me. I am sorry. But, you know, I had no teaching. I had no understanding where to go at from there. So that's where life began in my early age, as it says there in Romans 7, the struggle between two natures. At the age of 11 or 12, it began where the things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do. The things that I didn't want to do, that's what I did. As Paul battled, and I don't know if that was Paul's spirit Christian life or that was in, I think that was in his present, his sinful life. But still, in that life, I mean, living in the flesh, there was no strength in my life. I just sin and I sin and I did evil things. But I didn't want to do it, but I had no power over my life at age 11 or 12 up to I got born again. But anyway, as it says, the things I wanted to do, the things I didn't want to do, I did, and the things I did want to do, I didn't. But that went on until the age of 16. I'm just going to skip through here a little bit and just share with you a little of my life. But that's when I began alcohol, drugs, gambling. I mean, many evil things. And all of a sudden, you know, after so many years in my life, my conscience almost seared. And I mean, I didn't even really matter anymore after I got 16, 17, 18. I could just block it out because so many years I came through and I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't do it. And so as I went on, my conscience seared and it all of a sudden didn't matter. But as I went on, just to give you one instant here, how evil and how evil the flesh can be, which I know many of your fathers in here can share the same testimony. But as we was going in through the instruction class at church at the age of 16, one morning, a Sunday morning, my cousin came over and he was gonna I was gonna ride with him that morning, and he picked me up, and so he came over and I was still in bed, so he came up and got me up. And as we got up, we were still pretty bad shape. But I remember getting up that morning before we left, and we found some drugs, some weed what we have left from the night before, and we got high. We smoked and we got high. And I can remember all day, everything was so funny and everything was just so good, and my mind was numb, and sometimes if I ponder back, I tremble, you know, even though I know that we went there and we muttered some words at the instruction class that God, I don't know if God heard or not. Anyway, but still, just to give you a little idea of who I was and what I was like. And I'll share a little bit with you why I'm sharing some of this here for. But anyway, and then I went on through 16, through 17, through 18, nothing changed. And right before 19, I got married to my beautiful wife, Loretta. And I praise the Lord for that every day, that that God brought her in my life, that we could spend our life together. It just gets better every day after being married for 23 years. But anyway, at 18 and a half, or 19, I got married, and I always thought, when I get married, I'm gonna quit all this here. I'm gonna stop all this sin and this drinking and all this drugs and lying and just gambling and all that. But in the flesh, you can't do that. When you're living in the flesh, that's who you are. You're just fleshly. There's no spirit in there to quicken us, or there's no spirit in there to help us through. So as I went from from there, I went on. I nothing changed in my life, not at all. I continue on drinking, and I didn't do drugs very often after that. I did it once or twice, but nothing else changed in the flesh. And I always thought, like I said, I always thought when I get married, it's going to be different. But when I was 25 years old, as I'm going on here, somebody sent a letter in the mail about in the United States, all these concentration camps are going up. These are going to be for the Christians that are going to be persecuted. And for those that claim to know Christ or are not going to give up their faith. And I got so fearful. I knew I wasn't a child of God at that time. And I didn't know what to do. And I knew I was going to go to hell. So I thought, well, this is it. The 25 or 26 years old, I'm going to do whatever it's going to take. But remember, I'm still living in the flesh. And no one ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me yet. And that's why I want to say how blessed you young men are here today. You have the opportunity to sit under the word of Jesus Christ every day. I mean, every Sunday at church. And hear the word of God if you open up your hearts. And you got your mom and dad at home teaching you the word of God in the morning or at nights. How blessed you are. And I just want to encourage you to take that opportunity. Don't throw your life away like, and I know that many of you aren't. And I praise God for that. But I know how the flesh can be. And I know how Satan is. He's so subtle. And I just have a burden that the church of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ goes on. If it from here, just from 16 on 25 or 24 here, if you young men lose a vision, the church is not going to go on. The church is going to stop again, and it's going to come, and your children are going to live the same life that I lived. It's going to happen. So that's why I encourage you young men to take this time that you have here to seek God. You won't regret it. We have many scars in my life here. It's hard sometimes to just let lay. But anyway, I remember at that time, still living in the flesh, first thing I did, I went and got my TV. I had a TV, and we watched all kinds of ugly movies and all that. And I went and threw it in the dumpster, walking back in the house. And I remember I couldn't trust my flesh. So I went back out and got a sledge, and I smashed it up. Then I went through my radio out, and I threw everything out. We cleaned house. I took my driver's license, and I threw it away, and I left my hair start growing. I always had my hair cut, and I never had a beard. So I let my beard start growing. I thought, this is going to do it. This is what it's going to take. But I was still in the flesh. And I walked on for, it didn't take long at all. You know, a couple months, and I seen that there was no power over any sin. Yes, I might have changed many, many things. And yeah, getting rid of the TV wasn't a bad thing because we watched a lot of ungodly things. But there was no power over my sin. I still had my thought life. My sin, I still had that. Nothing happened. Nothing happened in my spiritual life. Actually, from that time on, I fell into deeper sin in life. I did something from that time, from 25 to 29, that could have got me 10 years in prison. And I only shared that with a few people, what took place. But I praise God. And that's why I can go to the prisons today and relate to those that are in prison. They got caught, and I never did. That's the only thing different between a lot of those there. And yes, a lot of those repented in the prisons. And I praise the Lord that God was graceful, merciful to me, and allowed me to see my sin and repent as well. But I praise the Lord for that. But anyway, at the age of 28 or 29, oh, time goes so fast. I should have wrote all that down from the beginning. But anyway, God started doing a work in my life around the year of 2000 and 2001. I know in 2000, I still had that fear of, you know, everybody was talking about the Y2K, and I know that I was deep in sin yet. But that's one of the first years we didn't go to the New Year's party. We stopped there, and no, I wasn't born again yet, but God started doing a work in 2000, and it was end of 2003. At the end of 2003, beginning of 2004, where I found the Lord. But anyway, I want to stop there for 1 minute. Living a life from the age of accountability to the age of 11 to 29, I fed my flesh, whatever it wanted. Well, what I want to share is, but yet there was still no satisfaction. I could do what I wanted to do. I mean, I did alcohol and I did drugs and I was gambling. I watched all kinds of sports. I played all kinds of sports and I indulged, but it did not bring a fulfillment. And I came up to the age of 29 and it was still empty. But when God used some man to start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, I knew that that's what it was. I was missing Christ, but I didn't know what to do, how to do it, to go on from there. But anyway, so you can feed your flesh, and why I'm saying this because I know that there's many temptations and there's many trials for you young men as well as for us. But with that great emptiness in my heart that I couldn't fulfill, I filled it in Jesus Christ in 2004. You know, Romans 8, it says here, I just want to read a few verses here. Let me just read a few verses in Romans 8, starting with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death. But to be spiritual-minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But Paul goes on and says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that ye in the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell within you, and raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. He goes on to say again, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For 29 years, I lived, you know, in this state. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, and it's a miserable life. But he said, "But you're not in the flesh," and I know most of you are not in the flesh. Most of you have been born again, but that's just the entrance. That's the beginning. We need to continue walking on in the spiritual life, or the enemy will continue on dragging and drawing people away from God. So that was my life in verse 8. And I just ask you, where are you at? Are you walking in the Spirit? And I trust that you are. But if you got some things in your life that you know that is from the flesh, or your desires are from the flesh, I encourage you to talk to your mom and dad or seek God in a deeper way. Because for 29 years, I was very miserable with no peace. And God started using, as I said, God started using brothers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And I knew what it was, what I was missing. So when I started reading, first of all, you know, I had to get an English Bible. I didn't have no Bible around there. But when I started reading the Word of God, there was a hunger in me and for God's Word. All I did, I read and I read and I read. I read late at night. I got up in the morning early and I read early in the morning. There was a transformation in my heart was taking place. The fleshly things of my life was crowding out. It was being pushed out of me. Because of the Spirit of God was dwelling within me. And that's what I say. It says that you can't live in the flesh and the Spirit at the same time. You can't love the flesh, love your flesh, and think the Spirit of God is going to dwell, push you. It can't. So I read and read. And you're not going to be able to read God's Word unless you have a hunger for God's Word, you know, here today. So how do we begin? How do we get that hunger of God in our lives? You know, like, you normally don't eat any time through the day unless your stomach tells you that you're hungry. Then your stomach says you're hungry, and you say, "Yeah, I'll get something to eat." But that's the way it is in God's Word. You know, we need a hunger. We need a hunger and thirst for His righteousness and His Word. So how do we get that? I got a hunger. When I got a hunger, it was when I realized that I needed Christ. I needed help. I had sin in my life. That's when I started beginning to hunger for the Word. You know, when I started reading, I knew I was a sinner, and I wanted to know what to do about it. I didn't. Before, at the age of 29, I didn't know what age 28 or 29, I didn't know what the solution was. I had no idea. All my life I've been told that it was on outward performance. It was just being good and do what you can do and let God do the rest. That's not true. You need to empty yourself of this fleshly desires. You need to empty yourself of self and start reading God's word in the spirit. And when I started reading through Matthew after, I don't know when I'm going to share that, when I got born again here. Okay, that's a little bit later on. But anyway, when I started reading God's word, I started through Matthew. And when I got to Matthew 6 there, I went through the Beatitudes and all that, the blessings. And I come up to Matthew 6, and I remember reading 19, Matthew 6, verse 19. And it talks about, lay not up for your treasures up on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. And all my life, I was laying treasures up for myself in this life. And I had to start dealing with some of those things that I had laid up in my heart. Just not in my heart, but even in the physical life. I can remember some of the treasures I had. I was a fanatic of basketball and sports and all that. We had trophies that we had when we won tournaments, and or not too many first place, but second place and all that. But we laid up these treasures. There was something important to me. And I remember shooting a big deer and stuffing his head and sticking it right in the room where we spent most of our time. Them were treasures, them were idols. And I had to deal with them things, and I wanted to. And that's what it is in our hearts. If there's little things stuck in your heart today, them little treasures or little idols, anything that means more to you than God, you need to deal with it. Or the enemy is going to use you and destruct you if you don't empty yourself of all that. And I remember starting that, taking my deer head and getting rid of it. Something that meant much to me. And is it wrong to have that? I don't know, but for me it was, because that was a treasure. That was an idol for my life, so I needed to deal with it. But as I read the next verse, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do break through nor steal. And I did. I started emptying that, and God started using me in a mighty way. And I just think of one way here, how you can lay up your treasures in heaven. You can all just think, how can you lay treasures up in heaven? It's not by doing fleshly things, you know that. But I just think of one thing, is working for the kingdom of God. And as I think of next week, you know, at Bible school down in Burn, I don't know how many of you signed up. I pray and trust that most of you did. Because it's one week where you can put aside all this earthly things. And when I say earthly, I mean we need to. We're in this earth. We're not going to get rid of this. But put aside one week and go and sit under the Word of God and allow God to do a deeper work in your life and in your heart. Just sit there. I always enjoy that, going to leadership, taking a week, setting a week aside and go and just let everything go. And just sit there and let the Word of God just concentrate and just spend time in prayer and the prayer groups. It is a blessing. And God can use that to store up things in the treasure, in the kingdom of God. He can put a hunger in your heart where you, next week you might share the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody I never heard. I'm talking about laying up treasures, and that's my heart. And then verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. And many people say, well, this is who I am. This is how I dress. And this is what I do. But that's really not me. I love God. But you're not going to fool God. Because where your treasures is, that is your heart. And that just, as we went to the Coliseum a few weeks ago, and I talked to a man, and he says, you know, yeah, I know that. I know that these men in this Coliseum, these singers, are evil. I agree, they're evil. But that's not me. I'm just going there to have a good time. I was like, yeah, there's his heart. Or that's his treasures, and that's where his heart is at. You're not going to fool God. Where your treasures are at, that's where your heart. You can try to lie to men, but you won't lie. You won't be able to lie to God. We can't lie to God. Just go on, read through here. In verse 22, I just want to read a few more verses of Matthew. It says, if the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye should be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be in darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, what you drink, for your body, what you should put on. It is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than raiment. It goes on, and the verse I want to get to, in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is my encouragement. I do have a burden for you young men, for you young women, that the church of Jesus Christ would go on. Just not where we come from, just not half-heartedly, but there will be a zeal, there will be a fire, so that my grandchildren will have a church, and their children. That is my heart. And I know through history we can see how often the churches, how the flames die off and they burn out. God forbid. In verse 21, you know, as they're talking about where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also, you know, and you can name it. What is it? You know, money, or just being popular, or even pleasures, or entertainment. Whatever it may be, you name it. You know, if you desire entertainment over maybe a prayer meeting, entertainment over maybe a Bible study, but you would say, well, hey, that's not my heart. I would have to question you. I'm not saying you can't do that. You can't do that, you know, occasionally. I'm not saying that. But if that's a continue life pattern, I would question your treasure. Where is your treasure? Because I can tell you, I'm not perfect, but I love God today. I loved meeting with the children. I love meeting with men of God, men of women. I mean the men and women that love God. It is something that's special to me, because our spirits connect, but God is. I would say I'm not perfect, and God is still working in me. He's perfecting me as well. But anyway, I remember hearing, you know, talking about that verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And right before I got born again, I was home one day. My wife wasn't home, and God was pursuing me. And I stayed home. I listened to a message on, actually two messages that day, one by David Gibbs and one by Junior Troyer. I think the one that preached, did God get all the day that he purchased you? Did God get all the day that he purchased you? And I remember listening to that message, and I was thinking, God didn't get any of me. I'm still full of self. I still got this. I'm still a sinner. But that day, I can tell you, I praise the Lord that I got on my knees and I cried out to the Lord. That was right, like I said, around 2003 or 4 there. And God got a hold of me and God got me. But yeah, there was some things in my life through the next couple weeks that I didn't completely surrender all that day. But I can tell you today, God got all of me. There's nothing I hold back in my life that God don't want me to keep. I give it to God. And that's, you know, I know that most of you in here are born again, young men. Don't hang on to those little things, little spurs in your life that'll end up, you know, as you think of a little branch in a big river hanging over. If you let that branch hang over, the water flows through, it's going to continue on catching debris and it's going to build up. And that's the way it will do in your life. So throw everything, just surrender everything to God. Allow God to take you the years to come, days to come, and just let him perfect you in him. He will. If you just say, Lord, here I am, God will take you. That's what he's wanting. He's wanting men and women. He's wanting us. And trust me, today yet, I need to still fall on my face and say, God, here I am. You do the finished work in my life. And he does. He'll take me and he'll use me for his honor and his glory. But until we come to that point, he can't. But I remember that day when I got born again, I thought, this is it. I was so excited. I know I didn't even share with Retta, because I knew that Retta wasn't going to understand with me that day. But I thought, I'm ready to die and I'm ready to go to heaven. I was like, Lord, take me. And I was ready to him strike me down. I am still today. I'm still ready to go. And that's the way it needs to be in our life. But realize later on that was just an entrance into the kingdom of God. You need to be born again, yes, but that it goes deeper than that. God wants to, He wants to use each and every one of you young men and women here for His glory. You need, it's an entrance, and you need to open your heart up to Him and allow Him to work through you. And He will take you, and He will make you shine if you allow Him to. A lot of times, God can't take us any further than we allow Him to. And people get born again. They make an entrance into the kingdom. They stop, and God wants to finish. He wants to finish. Yeah, you might be saved, but He wants to finish the work that's in you. He wants you to go to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember like when I got born again, I was ready to die. I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. Even though I had a wife and children, I love them, but I was ready. But the Lord told me pretty clearly that I want to use you for the kingdom of God. And I know that God is using me in many ways, but He's not finished with me. The last 11 years, He's been perfecting me in my life. and as I said, but Christ can't use you if you're still in what He says in Matthew 6. If you're still here, then no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is like riches or earthly material things or whatever it may be in your life. You can't serve both of them. If there's things in your life that you love more than Jesus, you need to deal with them. Because Christ, He is a jealous God today. He wants your all. Just not part of you. He wants all of you. Okay, just few more things here in closing. My heart here for you all is, and I want to turn to 2 Timothy 2. You can turn there if you want. Those that have the Bible. It's on starting on verse 14 on down. And it says, on these things put them in remembrance, charging them for the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's my heart. We would study ourselves to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their words will eat as doth a canker. And it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already over, and overthrow some of them. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But a great house there are not only vessels and gold and silver and one of the word of the wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctify and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. And it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. You want to be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified, set apart, you're different, and meet for the master's use. This way the master can use you. Jesus Christ can use you if you sanctify yourself from all this. And prepare unto every good work. And it says, flee the useful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call upon a Lord out of a pure heart. God knows you call upon Him in a pure heart, or just a half-heartedly, or just still loving your sin. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but to be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patience, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to do the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. And I can say today, the Word of God, as it says in Romans 7:22, for I delight after the law of God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Today, I can tell you there's nothing in this Bible that when I come to, I quick read across because I don't try to justify myself. It's not. If there's something in this Bible today I come up on and I read, and I see that contradicts my lifestyle, I deal with it. And that is my heart. And that is God's heart, that we would deal with it. We would just not come to a page and say, oh, I know what it says on there. That could contradict my lifestyle and flip over. Just be honest with God and just continue on seeking Him. He will use you in a mighty way. And I know he's using many of you already, but I'm just saying here. And I can say that I have a hatred for sin today that I never did. And I love Jesus Christ more than anything. And I want to say praise God, because it was not always that way. I always said I knew who Jesus was, but I was far from him. Okay, final scriptures here. I just want to read 2 Timothy 3. the steadfastness in scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. As it says, Paul's writing here to the church. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and been assured of not knowing of him, but thou hast learned them." And that is my heart. Continue in the things which your mom and dad had taught you, what you learned, and what you heard here from the church. Continue in them. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures is given for us in inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The last verse, it says, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works." And that is heart, that is God's heart, that we would strive to be perfect in Christ Jesus. And we know that as a father here, and as a husband, and as a brother, I still make mistakes. But my heart is to be perfected in Jesus Christ. Yet I'm not gonna stop until I see Jesus Christ coming through the clouds to gather his children. And that's my heart for every one of you, just not for the youth, but for everyone, that we can meet in the glory someday in the kingdom of God and rejoice there forevermore, without any sorrows, without any sin, without whatever it may be. So I just want to leave you with that. I just want to have a word of prayer, then everybody can just go back and find your own seats if you want. So let's pray. Eternal, righteous, loving Father, as we do bow here this morning, I do thank you, Lord, for many hearts that's been resurrected out from the pit, that's been resurrected from death. Lord, I just want to thank you just foremost for mine, Lord. As I lived in bondage, and I lived in the prison, I lived in sin for 29 years of the life, Lord, where it just brought dishonor to you. But thank you, God, for getting a hold of me and seeing, allowing me to see my sin and calling upon you and having my name written in the book of life today. I thank you. And I know many brothers and many sisters in here that have their names written in the book of life as well. I just want to thank you for that also as well, Lord. That we can someday, we can meet into that glorious kingdom, Lord, and sit around the throne and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs and sing with grace in our hearts unto the Lord, that you would be honored, Lord. I'm anticipating that day. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for all this, all these brothers and sisters. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all.